T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Here comes the opportunity.
Oh, wow!
Just goes outside of the net.
Wow.
Moore working around.
And goal! Canarinis! No, Cody Eakin, I'm sorry.
Cody Eakin leaves it off for Tyler Ennis.
Oh.
Tyler!
Oh, yeah!
Tyler Ennis!
Wrap around!
Woo! He's not going to sign for this.
Oh, Giroux!
Canada!
Oh. Next pass, goal!
Canada!
What a goal!
Seguin!
What a play!
Tyler Seguin!
Oh! What a save by Bobrovsky!
Woo! On Seguin!
Oh! What a play!
Goal! Claude Giroux! Claude Giroux! Here comes Canada once again.
Oh, goal! McKinnon!
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
So we're doing the whole first segment on the Mets, or do you want to get to that at 6:30?
Well, let's start a new feature called Could It Have Happened to Anybody But the Mets?
Or called Boy Am I Glad I Don't Root for the Mets Anymore, brought to you by Jeremy White.
Yeah, I definitely don't root for the Mets. I mean, the Blue Jays are a mess, but whatever. So the Mets had a guy violently break his ankle. It's one thing if you're told, what happened? I broke my ankle.
Violently.
I violently broke it.
Yeah, his now, leg and foot went in opposite directions, apparently.
Does that indicate that you broke it on purpose, that he hit himself so he wouldn't have to play for the Mets?
Mm-hmm. Could be.
I'm going to violently break it.
It's entirely possible.
Or, I mean, is he doing something that was violent?
Well, he does have a ranch. He likes to ride horses, but the Mets are not saying, they're only saying it was a non-baseball-related injury. There's speculation he might have fallen off a horse.
Okay.
But whatever, his foot landed in a hole somehow, and the leg and the foot went in different directions, and kablooey.
Mowing the lawn, step in a hole.
Yeah, who hasn't blown up a leg mowing a lawn? I mean, come on. So he might be out for the whole season. Woo! Yay for me.
Congratulations.
Yeah, well, you know, the sad thing is...
Hey, they won.
They won the game, but you can never get through a day with just good news when it comes to the New York Mets. So now Cespedes, who is going to be out at least half the season, is probably out for the whole season. And the 4-year, $110 million contract he signed a couple years ago doesn't look really good.
Yeah, right.
I'll see if he can get traded with like a Pozo or something like
it's
that.
It's fun, though, watching you love a player for...
I loved him.
For 2-3 years?
Yeah, I was all in. I mean, he was the most exciting guy since what? Reyes and before him, right? I mean, you know what?
And now you're already moved on to Pete Alonso.
Yes, I have. I was going to say, the real judge for me when I'm really in on a player is when I buy a jersey.
Yeah.
I have a Cespedes jersey. I got DeGrom. I got Cespedes. You got me Cano. Although if he keeps not running out ground balls, I may have to burn the Cano. When I'm in love with a player, I buy merchandise of said player. Yeah, Cespedes, it's too bad, Jeremy, because he was a guy who, every time he came to bat, you made sure you were watching. Like, if we were at a game, always go to the concession. You never go to the concessions if Cespedes is due up in the bottom half or top half of the – always wait to see Cespedes go to the plate, then go to the bathroom or go get concessions and watch it. Yeah, it's sad. Anyway, go ahead. I know that's – I was just kidding around. I know we're not starting with the Mets today, but I just had to get that off my chest. It sucks being a Mets fan. Okay, go ahead.
I believe you. There's been a death in the sports world. Niki Lauda. Just want to mention this real quickly. Niki Lauda, former Formula One driver, has passed away.
Yeah, you know, I couldn't. It's interesting with him. Like, I can't tell you anything about his career accomplishments. I just know he was the guy involved in the really fiery crash and, I mean, was disfigured. And I mean, I think they might have done a 30 for 30 on him.
Have you seen the movie? There's a movie.
Oh, I didn't know there was a movie.
There's a movie. It's called Rush.
I did not see the movie.
You should see that movie as soon as you can.
I remember seeing a very
good movie.
Is it? Okay, maybe I'm confusing that. Was that about his, he had a big rivalry with another driver or something like that, right? That must be what I'm confusing.
Thor. I forget his name. Chris Emsworth was the guy.
I don't know.
I forget the driver's name.
Okay.
Niki Lauda and
You know what else I saw on him, actually? I think it was
Pull it up. Don't text me. I'll find it in 2 seconds.
There's a show I watch, and I think I've told you I should stop watching it because it makes me nervous when I fly now, called Air Disasters. Niki Lauda ran an airline company. Like, he owned like a really fast jet and had maybe a couple airline, whatever. He ran an airline company, and one of them was involved in a crash. I remember seeing the special because I interviewed him for the Air Disaster special. But anyway, I just remember, like, I don't even know, was it the Indy 500? A really fiery crash he was involved in. That's how I remember.
I don't believe it was the Indy 500, no.
But he was in a really, like, right. Almost died, right?
Right. Don't spoil the whole movie.
Oh, I'm
no,
sorry.
No, I'm kidding.
Spoiler alert, he didn't.
It's based on real life. It's James Hunt was the rivalry he had.
Okay.
It was Austrian Niki Lauda and Brit James Hunt, played by Chris Hemsworth.
Okay.
And it is a great movie. So if you're looking for a sports movie to watch, you're mad because Game of Thrones is over. I did watch the finale last night.
Uh-huh.
Whatever you are, Niki Lauda has passed away at the age of 70. It is a great movie. Unsuspecting, great, just kind of, all right, I'll check this out one day on Netflix 5 years ago or whatever. And it's fantastic. Not super well known, but and Niki Lauda himself, the guy who has passed away, said the movie was about 80% accurate, which I think is pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, you do a biopic on somebody and that guy says 80%, close enough.
It's funny, right? Right. I kind of forget that stuff. But, you know, it's interesting if you ever watch a movie and then later on you find out, like, oh, yeah, that was for Hollywood. You know, they put that in there for movie purposes. Like, We Are, Marshall, whatever, the movie about the plane crash of the Thundering Herd. There's some scenes in there that just never happened. But it makes for good drama, good Hollywood, you know? So they throw some stuff in there.
Bohemian Rhapsody just went through this, right? Bohemian Rhapsody was torn apart about the realism of it, but it was a great movie.
Yeah, right. And it's funny. You walk out going, wow, that's really cool. And then someone tells you, oh, by the way, that scene never happened.
Yeah.
They just made it up for Hollywood. I'm like, oh, no kidding. Really? I wish you wouldn't tell me that because I thought that was, like, really cool. But I remember Jim McNally, former Bills coach, who was on that first staff when Marshall brought football back, talked about how, yeah, there were a handful of things in the movie that just never took place. They just wanted to put it in because, you know, you got to sell tickets and make the movie interesting, I guess.
Yeah. So go watch that movie. Rent that movie wherever you find it. Rush. Not the band. I don't like the band, but I like the movie quite a bit.
You know, the band's not bad anyway. Okay, go ahead.
So I got something for you that I was listening to Sal with Bulldog yesterday. Mike was off, which by the way, I want to talk about why he was off and something else that happened that I would have blown my stack, and you might have too. Mike went to the Blue Jays game yesterday.
I would not. Oh, I bet I know where you're going.
It's Victoria.
I would have been angry.
Victoria Day.
Big crowd.
Kids are off from school.
Yeah. Playing the Red Sox.
At home. Sell a bunch of tickets.
Uh-huh.
Vlad Guerrero Jr. rest day.
And he was just named AL Player of the Week.
Yeah.
Was like 7-for-21 with 4 home runs. I mean, he had a monster week last week. And I guess they're going with their sports science approach. Like he needed a day off. Like he had played like 16 straight days or something.
Give him the day before.
I would have been furious. Give him a road game off somewhere.
Right, give him the next day off.
Not with the kids in the stands on a Monday afternoon on a holiday. You don't do that.
What a mess.
What a terrible idea.
Like I said, would you rather that or violently breaking your ankle? It's close. It's pretty bad.
Well, at least Vlad Jr.'s young, and he's like a future star. Yeah, that would I would have been furious.
Absolutely terrible.
Right.
Anyway, so Sal was in with Bulldog yesterday, and they're talking about Josh Allen and what – not maybe what is fair to expect, but what would be good for Allen in year two, right? Yep. We saw year one, there were some good things. I think there were definitely enough good things that people are excited for year two, myself included. Why not? Let's do this thing. They got him some weapons. They got him a line. And Sal said, I don't want to necessarily put words in Sal's mouth or misrepresent him, so don't take this exactly as a quote. But he's talking about a potential step forward that you would take for Allen would be to have Mitch Trubisky's season. Trubisky in his first year only threw 7 touchdowns and 7 picks and didn't really do much. But in his second season, Trubisky threw 24 touchdowns, 12 picks, 3,200 yards, and went 11-3 as the starter because the defense is studly.
Yeah, he had a great defense.
Yeah, they went out and they got him some weapons, and his quarterback rating went up to 95, if you like quarterback rating. His QBR, if you like that, went from 31 to 72. He took fewer sacks.
They won their division,
more games,
right?
They won their division. Right. Trubisky was the quarterback of a good team. I'm not sure if he's that good yet. But Sal was pointing out, how about that season? Right there. Boom. Mitch Trubisky, 3,200 yards, 24 touchdowns. And to me, I think there are two kinds of Bills fans when they think about Allen in this regard. Some think, sure, take a step forward, whatever. And then the rest think, I did this because I wanted someone great. And I'm looking at Trubisky and looking at what he did over the course of last season, and he didn't do anything great, and no one would say he's a made man or he's great. And I was trying to figure out what the bar is, what Allen would have to do or could do, where at the end of this season, I'm not sitting here saying, you know, okay, with that tone. You always use that tone. Right. He took steps.
Right.
It becomes, oh, we're set. Like with the Chiefs, year two, Patrick Mahomes, we're set.
Yeah.
Done. Don't have to think about it anymore. The guy is good. I think in Houston, they talk about Deshaun Watson that way, right? All right, this is our guy. He's good enough, whatever.
Mm-hmm. As long as he stays healthy.
Exactly. Build around him.
Right.
And then there are the younger guys like Sam Darnold and Josh Allen and Baker Mayfield. The talk about him kind of seems to be like he's already kind of set. And I might agree with that, but that's not really the point. Hmm. The point is, we've got to do it. We did it. We talked about it all the time with Tyrod. And we've got to start talking about it again. You have to remove the Bills bar and put the league bar up
there. Yeah, but it's hard. It's hard.
It's really hard.
Because one of the things going through my head right now is 24 touchdowns. I was going to say, in my head, I'm hearing this. You know, by Bills standards, that's not bad.
Right. It's pretty bad.
But
it's pretty weak.
I think the numbers I'm just looking at Trubisky's numbers, okay? So he had 12 starts in 2017. He had 14 starts last year. He went up from 180 yards passing a game to 230. He went from 7 touchdowns, 7 picks to 24 and 12. His completion percentage went up from 59 to 66. I think Trubisky's numbers last year I'd like to set as the floor. Although I don't think Josh Allen's going to be completing 66% of his passes. That'd be quite a sizable jump from 52, 53.
I'll be the one to tell you I don't care about completion percentage at all.
But I think here's what I look at. It's an average of, assuming he starts all 16 games, we'd be talking 200 passing yards a game and 1.5 passing touchdowns. To me, that's the floor. I think that's a minimum you should be asking for. I don't think it's a lot to get to 200 passing yards a game. In fact, you should be above 200 passing yards a game in the NFL. And 1.5 passing touchdowns over a 16-game. That's not a lot to ask for. I think that's the floor.
Tyrod Taylor was above 200 passing yards per game twice with the Bills.
Right.
Until they brought in McDermott and Bean and took away his weapons and kind of gave him an offensive coordinator that wasn't suited for him.
Right.
And submarined who he was, he had 200 yards passing per game. Tyrod Taylor had 216 yards per game. So, you know, 3,200. Tyrod did 3,000 in 14 games. Anytime you have these conversations about Allen, you'll get Bills fans to get really upset at the implication that he's just Tyrod, which is not what I'm saying. But we need to put the bar where the bar is supposed to be, which I think is 4,000 yards.
Oof.
Do I have a good quarterback? If I have a good quarterback, he has the capability of 4,000 yards. And that doesn't even make you necessarily good, right? 4,000-yard quarterbacks. There have been 175 4,000-yard seasons. That's a lot, right? 175. In this group is, Joe Namath, right? But in this group is John Kitna, Jake Plummer, Jay Schrader, Brian Sipes, some guys that aren't that good. But Deshaun Watson's already there. Kirk Cousins is there. Ryan Tannehill got there.
Really?
Yeah. Ryan Tannehill, 4,200 yards back in 2015. Andy Dalton's been there. So it's not even to say 4,000 means you're good, because it definitely doesn't. But my feeling is you'll never be good if you never get to 4,000. The best quarterback ever to never throw for 4,000 yards would have had to play in the Jim Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jim
that
Kelly.
Was the only season,
it's a different,
right?
It's a different era. So I'm not trying to make it about fantasy stats, and I'm not trying to say if he throws for 39-96, he's a bum. And I'm not even saying it has to happen in year two. But if he has Mitch Trubisky's season, I feel like I will be sitting here next year saying, all right, time for the next step, right? I need you to get...
Well, the next step would be the 4,000 yards. Or the you brought up 30 passing touchdowns.
Okay. How many seasons in NFL history, how many 30-touchdown seasons have there been, passing touchdowns?
Okay, if I read this right from Pro Football Reference, they've listed them. Looks like there are 122 guys have had a 30-touchdown season.
Correct. And not all of them.
And actually,
not all of them are good.
No, but a lot of them, there doesn't appear to be, I'm trying to think, who would be the worst quarterback on this list?
Scott Mitchell?
That would probably be
Dave Craig?
Vince Ferragamo's on the list. He's got to be right there at the top. So most of the guys are good to great quarterbacks on this list. But I'd be thinking more about that, the 30 touchdown list.
Dante Culpepper, 39. He was really good for a stretch.
They had one magical year, right? Yeah. He was there when they had a magical offensive year.
Yeah.
Yeah, Scott Mitchell is probably. I mean, Dave Craig is on the list. Dave Craig had 32. To me, that's the number I'd be thinking about. But the 4,000 yards, by the way, you're not thinking about like this season for Josh Allen.
No.
You're saying that is the next step after this season.
I'm setting the bar for the league.
Yeah.
There's the Bills bar, and then there's the league bar.
Well, then get to 30 touchdowns, too, at some point.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still less a little less than two a game, obviously, if you do the math. Can you get to 30 passing touchdowns? 122 guys have done that.
Right. Probably not this year.
No.
But you might get to 30 total touchdowns when he runs it,
well,
too.
Well, you mentioned capability. What's he capable of? I'd like to see a guy who's capable of getting to 30 passing touchdowns and or 4,000 passing yards. I don't expect that this year. I would expect a little better than Trubisky. You know, I said, I think that's the floor. I don't think it's unfair to say with an overhauled offensive line, a returning offensive coordinator, two new receivers, and whatever all the other things they've added to this team, and what we think will be a really good defense, I don't think it's a lot to ask for 200 passing yards a game and 1.5 passing touchdowns a game.
No, I mean, 200 passing yards per game, like you said, that is the floor.
Yeah.
That's not even good.
Right. No, but again, in terms of, you know, where we're what we're expecting or where we think Josh Allen can go in year two, I think that's where we start. Please do better than that, but I think that's the minimum we should be looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And again, 200 passing yards a game in this league is really low. I'd have to look up. I'm curious how many teams were sub-200 or right around 200 passing yards a game last year. Oh, it's got to be at the bottom.
For sure. The Bills were very near the bottom.
Yeah.
With Arizona, I'm trying to think who else might have been down there. The Jets might have been a little bit low.
I don't know. Jacksonville?
But think about Trubisky. There's one other thing that happened. The Bears win their division and they make the playoffs, and then they lost the playoff game at home.
Yeah.
And Trubisky threw for less than 300 yards, was 16 of 26, one touchdown. He just didn't do too much.
And it's funny, too, if you think about Trubisky, what were some of the things what they were saying? Hey, look what they've done around him.
Right, you know, they added a bunch of pieces.
The coach comes in with an offensive background, right? And then they went out and spent a lot of money on wide receivers. They had a couple good running backs. I mean, they really tried to build their offense around Mitchell Trubisky. And, you know, again, in the bigger picture, they succeed. They win their division, and they get into the playoffs, and they have one of the best records in the NFL. But those numbers are not eye-popping. I guess, like I said, I think if you tell me about Trubisky, I'd say that's the floor. And it needs to be at least there, if not higher, in year two for Josh Allen. Again, knock on wood, assuming he plays all 16 games, starts every game this season. It's not a lot. It really isn't a lot to ask.
No, and
the big thing
is
he's not going to complete. I don't expect him. I don't know if he ever will complete 66% of his passes. But I need him to be more productive in terms of the passing game, and they should be with the weapons he has.
Well, Ryan Tannehill's another one here. Like Tannehill, at one point,
was that the year they made the playoffs? I assume
4,000 yards. His career best touchdowns, I think, was 24 touchdown passes. So again, if Allen throws for 24 touchdowns and 4,000 yards, we might get to a spot where we think, all right, baby, we're set. But even that is not set. You know, you can only kind of prove yourself over the course of multiple years of success. So, I'm really eager to see it all happen. I can't even fathom or comprehend what it will be like if he is the guy and they're set. Actually, Tannehill's career high was 27 touchdown passes and 4,000 yards.
It's funny. I'm looking at the list from Pro Football Reference. I was trying to think, okay, 24. How many guys have had 24 touchdown pass seasons?
The list
stops at 26. It doesn't go lower than 20. And that's about 250 players that have had at least 26 touchdown passes in the single
season.
Ryan
Fitzpatrick's done it multiple times,
Mark
right?
Sanchez is on the list.
He had
a 26 touchdown season.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've got Marcus Mariota just did 26 in 2016. So it's about more than just the stats, but I guess what it comes down to is the fundamental question. Did the Bills draft him to manage games or to go out and win him?
No, they drafted him to be the 30-touchdown, 4,000-yard guy.
And it might not happen this year.
Right.
So, you know, if he gets to 25 touchdowns and 3,500 yards this year, that will be a good step.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with Sal about that, that, hey, you have Trubisky's season. All right, we're all satisfied. But I think we'll still be looking for more from there.
Oh, you have to.
Yes.
He's supposed to be more than that.
And I just want to keep reminding everyone, or myself maybe even more than anybody, not the Bills bar, the league's bar.
Look, in Cleveland, right, we talk a lot about the Browns this offseason and how people are really excited about the Browns and expecting big things. No one in Cleveland is talking 3,200 yards and 24 touchdowns for Baker Mayfield
no,
in that
they're talking
offense.
40
they're expecting
touchdowns.
Bigger than that, right? They're expecting a big, really big passing season for Baker Mayfield with Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry and all the weapons they have. So, you know, this is, right, this season for Josh Allen, stay healthy, make it through the whole season, look like you've taken yet another step in your progress as an NFL quarterback, but the ultimate goal is, sure, I mean, he has been drafted to be the franchise quarterback and not a manage the game guy who doesn't turn the ball over and has is part of a complementary part of the offense. He's supposed to be the star. When you do everything you did to move up in the draft and get a guy that high at quarterback, he's not throwing for 24 touchdown passes and 3,200 yards.
And you don't get to know ahead of time what he turns into. We've asked this question a million times. We did it during the draft last year. Would you take Andy Dalton, his team made the playoffs a bunch of times. He's had some good seasons. Would you take, and then fill in the blank over and over again. Who knows? He might be the quarterback for this team for 5 years, make the playoffs three times, and never get out of the first round.
Right, like Dalton.
But the funny thing is, for the Bills bar, that sounds great.
Yeah.
You know, like, all right, three playoff appearances, maybe a home playoff game mixed in. That's what the Bears just got. I bet they had a ton of fun with that and want to keep building. So, you know, it's it's a fun time because expectations are starting to rise, but I also think that they are there for the most part realistic. And that's a good spot to be in. You expect something of Allen and of the Bills, but it's not about Super Bowl or bust. So it can still be fun.
It's funny. Andy Dalton. What if he's Andy Dalton? So the guy he's been in the league 8 years. He made the playoffs the first 4 years, missed the last four. He's had two seasons of over 4,000 yards passing. He actually had a 33 touchdown pass season once too. So he's top 30 one time, a 25 couple times, 27. What if he's Andy Dalton?
It's probably not good enough.
Okay, because Dalton's numbers are, again,
standard. That's what Dalton is. Dalton is really good for the Bills. Standard
for
the
league. Okay,
standard.
He's going to get you probably low 3,000 yards on the average. And I'm going to guess a little over 20 touchdowns on the average, looking at just his numbers without doing the actual math and division.
Yeah.
Okay, so you need better than
– You do.
You drafted him to be better, bigger than that.
Sure, if he's Andy Dalton, he's the best Bills quarterback since Drew Bledsoe, and he's just a guy in the league that's average that keeps you from drafting another one.
Right, but which again, relatively speaking, what have the Bills quarterbacks been since Drew Bledsoe? They've been very far below – what you should have in the National Football League in terms of quarterback productivity.
But if we held Tyrod to this standard, we have to hold Josh Allen, which is, I mean, Tyrod was the best.
I expect more from Allen. Right. Tyrod was
the best Bills quarterback since blank.
Yeah, but it's funny. I mean, Tyrod came in the league as a sixth-round pick or whatever the heck he was, sitting behind Flacco in Baltimore, and you bring him in and take a shot. This kid's a first-round draft pick.
No, I understand. Yeah, all the things you're saying about Allen, though, if he does that, we will have already said about Tyrod Taylor, and the proof was it doesn't really mean that much.
Yeah,
you have to be one of the best in the league, not one of the best the Bills have had in a decade where they didn't ever pass the ball. They have one 4,000-yard passer in their history. That's amazing.
Well, when you consider where the league has gone in the last 10 years.
Really amazing.
In terms of passing, yeah. So what would be good for Josh Allen in year two?
Let's throw it to John Brown all day and throw it to Robert Foster.
Yeah, and Cole Beasley.
Yeah, if we're going to ask this question
and Zay
and
Jones,
extend this, what would be, what's the word there you said? What would be good?
What would be good for Josh Allen in year two?
4,000 yards.
Yeah, not good, not good by Bill's standards.
What would be good?
What is good by, I should probably add by
4,000 yards.
NFL standards.
What would be acceptable? Like 3,400.
Yeah.
But what would be good? 4,000.
Right.
And I want to be bullish on that. About these teams throw for 4,000 plenty.
Yeah.
Is this team ready to do that?
No, I don't think so.
Right. That would be good.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean
I'd be surprised if they threw 4,000 yards.
I want to make it clear, I'm not making this pass fail. It's just that's good. And there are definitely degrees below that are acceptable.
Yeah.
Passable and encouraging.
I would be surprised if they hit the 4,000.
Like Patrick Mahomes didn't take a step.
No.
He just exploded. He just became good.
Right.
All right, there you go. He's good. So, Allen, if he just took the steps to become good, well then, hey, let's go. It's party time.
803-0550 to join us this morning. Look, it's a beautiful, sunny morning outside. A little cool, by the way, but sunny.
Back-to-back days with no rain?
Shh.
See, now that's good. No, wait, no.
It rained for a few seconds yesterday.
That's acceptable. Good would be a week with no rain.
You didn't get any rain yesterday? I swear it rained for a few seconds in the afternoon, like a few
sprinkles,
minutes.
The sprinkliest of sprinkles.
Like the passingest of passing showers?
Yeah.
I looked outside, like, hey, it's raining. Was it? And then it stopped, so it wasn't too bad.
There's nothing coming today.
Good, because I got to vacuum the pool today.
I think we're good tomorrow, too.
Yeah, well, I'm not vacuuming the pool tomorrow. I got to do it today. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550. Coming up on the show today, by the way, talking about the Bills. OTAs going on. The media will have a chance to watch practice today and speak with Sean McDermott later this morning. Chris Brown will join us from BuffaloBills.com, their lead journalist. He's got an article up about Zay Jones looking bigger and stronger this year, speaking of the passing game. Chris will be with us at 8 o'clock. Paul Hamilton talking some hockey with us at 7:30. And we'll find out a little bit more about the Sabres' new coach, Ralph Krueger. We're going to be chatting with Paul Maurice, the Winnipeg Jets head coach, at 9:30. He was on the staff of the Team Europe in 2016, the World Cup of Hockey, the team that surprised everybody, went to the finals, lost to Canada. Krueger was the head coach. Paul Maurice was on that staff. So we'll talk to Paul Maurice about Ralph Krueger. That's at 9:30 this morning here on WGR.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I think that Ed Oliver is the kind of guy that can set the tempo on McDermott's defense. And then if I'm Josh Allen, what did I want? Maybe besides a game-breaking wide receiver. I mean, we know that they had interest in, perhaps interest in Antonio Brown this offseason, someone to kind of upgrade that passing game. But if you can't have that, what's the next best thing you want? You want offensive line help. You want a little bit more time and someone to protect you. And I think Cody Ford is one of those guys that can come in and maybe do that for the next 5 or 10 years.
Cody Ford.
It's Connor Orr from Sports Illustrated. We'll see if Cody Ford, where he lines up today. Does he line up with the ones?
Speaking of which, Cordy Glenn,
yeah, I saw,
moving to guard. They drafted a tackle.
They want to move. They have Jonah Williams, so yeah, so they're going to kick Cordy Glenn inside, apparently, so Jonah Williams can start a tackle. Apparently, Cordy is good with it. So they had a meeting with him and said he was all in, or whatever the phrase was to describe that. Got to get the headlines, but can't do the headlines without a piece of paper I'm looking for. Why don't you do the headlines? It'll buy me time to find. Oh, I got it. I'm good.
The Warriors win and sweep.
Hey, Steph Curry's good. I don't know if you did you know
he's
that?
He's very good.
He's really still really, really good.
They're 5-0 without Durant, and over the last two postseasons without Curry, they're 9-3.
The Durant narrative is silly. Like, are they better without Kevin Durant? No, I mean, they were really good before he got there, but why would you say they're better without
him? They had to win one game without him and beat Houston. They did.
By the way,
if they have to go a 7-game series against Houston, they might be in more trouble. But whatever, Houston kind of choked it away, in my opinion.
Well, for what it's worth, look at this series.
The matchup gets easier.
It's a sweep. But in the last three games of this series, they were down by 15 or more points in the first half. They were down big in game two and game three and game four. Look, Curry played like he did before Kevin Durant was there, where he ran the offense. But he contributed in so many different ways. He averaged nearly a triple-double in this series. But the people who have to, you know, oh, the Warriors better without Kevin Durant, they were really good without him, and they're really good with him. So let's stop the whole they're better without Kevin Durant stuff. Anyway, they did sweep Portland. They won in overtime last night. And Curry had 37, I think he ended up with last night, and a triple-double. So they're on to the finals. Right? NBA is the one with the yes?
Yes.
Okay.
Stanley Cup final.
Fifth straight finals berth for the Warriors. That's the first time a team has done that since the Boston Celtics teams of Bill Russell and company, late 50s into the mid-60s. Bill's OTAs today. Sean McDermott will speak to the media later this morning. Sal will be on hand and cover that for us. The Bucks and Gerald McCoy have, quote, mutually parted ways. They didn't want to pay him $13 million this season.
Do the Bills need that guy?
I don't think so.
Rotate another stud on the defensive line?
Yeah, I mean, if he comes in really cheap, he's 31 and his numbers are declining a little bit. So, you know, I mean, obviously you're not paying him $13 million. The Bucks didn't want to do that. If he comes in really, really cheap, okay. The Colts signed Chad Kelly. Washington linebacker Reuben Foster tore an ACL at their OTAs. He's out for the year. Sam Reinhart, couple goals. Canada beat Denmark at the World Championships. We have a story on that at WGR550.com. San Jose and St. Louis tonight at 8 o'clock.
Boy,
if
the
Blues
Sharks
win, they're into the final. And the Sharks go into an offseason where what's going on with Carlson and Thornton and Pavelski?
I saw the other day Stephen A. Smith was doing one of those things.
He talked about the Sharks?
Stephen A. Smith was on a rant, and he goes, I'm going to do something I don't normally do. I'm going to speak directly to the player. And he looked in the camera and he was talking to maybe Kevin Durant, whoever.
Oh, okay, I thought
he's like, I'm talking directly to. So that, I'm doing that.
Okay.
I'm talking directly to the San Jose Sharks.
I thought he was talking about the
I'm
Sharks.
I'm talking to the San Jose Sharks
They're
right now.
They're listening. Go ahead. It's early there, but you know.
Carlson, Pavelski, and Hurdle, by the way, are all hurt.
Yeah.
And questionable.
Yeah, Hurdle's status is up in the air. Yep. And Carlson's playing with a bad groin.
How do you have a team this good and you don't get a goalie? It caught up with you. He's the worst goalie in the playoffs. You're going to get bounced because he's not been good enough. And now you're battling injuries. And maybe if you had a better goalie, you wouldn't have had to go to seven games in each of those series. And maybe you knock somebody else off. They beat Colorado in six. I can't believe they went this far with the worst save percentage in the league.
Did you know?
And they're in game six of the Western Conference Final. They are a good enough team to win the Stanley Cup, and their goalie has been the worst in the playoffs. And that's going to kill them.
Early stat of the day for you. The Sharks have won more games than any NHL team over the last 15 seasons. How about that? I think the low in terms of season point totals in that stretch was 89. But 15 years, they made the playoffs 14 times in 15 years, won more games than anybody else. Tonight, they will surpass the Penguins for the most playoff games played by any franchise since 2004. They have one appearance in the Stanley Cup Final and a loss to the Penguins to show for that stretch of 15 years having more wins than anybody else in the NHL. Carlson's a free agent. Thornton at 39 is a free agent. I think Pavelski's a free agent this year at 35.
It's probably about to start a new era.
So, right, that's one of the narratives of tonight is this the end of an era for San Jose if they get beat by St. Louis? And
it's tough.
It's been a hell of a run if this is where it ends. Anyway, so that's at 8 o'clock tonight. Zdeno Chara says he'll be ready for Game 1 of the Stanley Cup Final. Yanks beat Baltimore. The Jays lost to Boston. Mets beat Washington. But Yoenis Cespedes injured himself on his ranch in Florida. Who the heck knows? Headlines brought to you by the Air National Guard. Get military training, serve close to home, and protect others all around the world. It's time to take off. Find out more at goang.com/now or call 1-800-TO-GO-ANG.
Very quickly. Yesterday, Brayton and I spoke about the petition to redo Game of Thrones Season 8. Right, we sat there like, oh my God, can you believe these losers putting together this petition? I watched the finale last night, and I would just like to say, what's the website for that petition? I'd like to maybe sign off.
Not so much, huh?
Well, I was actually thinking about how ridiculous it would be, but at one point we thought a college football playoff would never happen.
You're not really a petition
man. No, of course. A lot of things we thought would never happen have happened. The Red Sox go 86 years without winning a World Series. They win a World Series. We get a Triple Crown winner.
You know what else happened? We actually figured out what an NFL catch was.
And the Bills made the playoffs.
The Bills ended
the drought.
Made the playoffs? What?
Listen, a lot of things could happen.
Chambers
they decide to. I'm trying to think of other big events that have been. Right? Mayweather and McGregor would never happen. Did? All these things that are supposed to never happen. It's just, you know, give me that website. I'm signing that petition.
Sabres make the playoffs?
I don't know about that. Don't get greedy.
The thing that kind of throws everything off and makes me kind of irritated is that they had all that time to make a good season and get it right. And
I don't know if they did.
I don't know.
They only had six episodes. But anyway.
There's no way they're going to surprisingly announce another year.
There's actually going to be spinoffs. They've already announced.
Oh, okay.
It's already been widely reported there probably will be spinoffs.
Okay.
I also have another confession to make.
I can give you a quick TV viewing tip. Would you like a little mini series to watch, by the way?
Sure,
can I make a recommendation? Chernobyl.
Have you seen it? I've been watching it, yeah.
I just started watching it. I saw the first two. I think it's only a four-episode thing, right?
Maybe four or six, yeah.
But I watched the first two episodes the last few days. Really, really good. Interesting stuff. If you can handle, you know, obviously what happened to the people with all the radiation and everybody. You know, it's a little graphic at times, but it's an extremely well-done series through the first two episodes. So if you're looking for something to watch, you got HBO, you can go on demand, whatever, Chernobyl, really good.
There's a accompanying podcast about Chernobyl, and the director was asked why they speak with English accents in it, right? The Russian people,
right.
And they have English accents.
One of the lead characters.
They're all English, basically. Yeah. Yeah. And he was asked, why'd you go with English accents instead of maybe Russian
accents, right?
And simply said that, you know, sometimes if you're making a film and you get into Russian accents, it sounds like everyone's kind of kidding. And that you end up like Boris and Natasha, and it's just, it's too cliche. So that they make the decision early on to say, let's just do it this way.
Yeah. But you know, it's
funny. And just remove it from the discussion early on. People will get over it. It's a docuseries.
It's funny though, in the series, right? So yes, they're all speaking English, obviously. But there are times like announcements are made or the radio is on and it's Russian. Like they're speaking Russian when they're announcing to people to evacuate the town. But the whole the miniseries is English speaking. It's not subtitles, but they intersperse like Russian. I'm thinking, well, the Russians are speaking English. Why do you have to have anyway? Whatever. I think it's really interesting. It's well done, and it's interesting to see, you know, like what was happening, what they thought was happening, what they didn't want to get out early on, and it was just it's really, really a good series to watch. Anyway, I digress. Ron tweeted in a couple tweets on Josh Allen. So what would be a good year number
good.
Two.
Good.
For Josh Allen. 3,700 plus yards, 20 TDs, 10 picks, victory over Tom Brady.
20 and 10 is not good.
Yeah, 20 is still not. I mean, you'd like to get at,
it's better.
Know, you'd like to get to, like I said, what did we say? Trubisky was 24.
24
That's
and
your
12.
Floor. I think you have to, it's not a lot to ask for 1.5 passing touchdowns a game on the average. For a team that we'd like to believe will throw the ball a little more this year. Tweet from Port Dog, 3,200 yards, 19 touchdowns, 12 picks.
Not good.
A lot of rushing yards. 750 rushing yards and 8 touchdowns.
750 rushing yards.
Oof. I don't think he's rushing that much, and he's probably not. Well, yeah.
They didn't draft him to run. He's going to run when things break down, right?
Well, the next tweet was have a running back lead the team in rushing. Yes, that'd be a refreshing change. Yeah, no, I think it's too many rushing yards. I think you got to be, and 19 touchdowns. Is not good for a 16-game season on what we believe will be a better offense with better weapons, right? How many times, whatever, I'm not going to get into last season, but you know, we would look around and go, man, you got to get this guy some players. Okay, he's got two new targets at the very least in John Brown and Cole Beasley to go with Zay Jones, to go with Robert
and
Foster.
And Duke Williams and Dawson Knox and T.J. Yeldon Gore and Devin Singletary.
Right.
And don't forget Cody Ford.
Tyler Croft.
You never know. Cody Ford.
Tackle eligible?
Yeah, I'm just putting it out there. Tyler Croft, yeah.
Right.
I mean, there are a bunch of new people to catch passes.
You didn't mention Lee Smith.
Oh, right. Lee Smith.
And his career high of?
8 catches.
What was it? 7?
Yeah.
So what's a good year two? You can
good year two.
You can let us know.
NFL good, not Bills good.
Yeah, 803-0550, 888-550-2550. That's one of the things we're talking about this morning. If something else you want to get into, that's fine too.
I also had I have a Skinner question, Jeff Skinner question I wanted to ask you, because we talked yesterday about 8 years, $8.5 million for him.
Yeah.
Would you or would Skinner or would the Sabres be interested in, you know what, 2 years, $20 million. 10 per year for 2 years, you go
Yeah, I'm okay with shorter term. Yeah.
Would Skinner be okay with that?
If I were him.
You get more on the short term, and in 2 years, you can sign another contract, and maybe you play 2 more years with Jack Eichel. Maybe you get 40 goals each of those seasons.
Yeah.
And then it becomes, sure, you're a little older, but then from there, it's less guaranteed money.
Right.
I was just trying to think about,
from his perspective,
a creative way that the two sides could come together and say, no, you know what? Yeah, okay, I'll take $10 million for 1 year or a shorter deal that makes everybody feel less panicky It's always hard for me to try to figure out why a player would take less guaranteed money.
Right, that's the thing. It's
but some
that
guys
stuff's all guaranteed.
But Austin Matthews took less guaranteed money. He's younger, in the interest of getting more of it down the line.
Yeah.
Skinner's already well into his career, so it's not as likely. But I was just trying to kick around like what number could be right. What if you said 1 year, $12 million? You know,
yeah.
What would he say? I mean, you'd make more than Jack Eichel, which I don't really care about, and I don't think that the Sabres should worry about that too much. That's something mm-hmm. they're going to have to get over eventually. 1 year, $12 million. Let's do this again. If I
were him, I probably wouldn't do it. Because I know if I get to the market, I'm pretty sure I'll be able to get something of term and value. I probably wouldn't do it if I were him. I'd be gambling on myself, essentially.
Well, right. His max is 7.
I'd be going 1 or 2 years and then say I'll hit my big contract after that.
His max is 7 years. And
outside, right.
Anywhere else. Yeah. His max is 7 years. And if the value that the projection was right at $68 million, that's 9+ per year.
Yeah.
Who's given 9+ for seven
it's a
years?
Big number, yeah.
So it all makes me wonder if the age will kind of bring the contract down to a more reasonable number for the Sabres.
I guess I'd worry if I were Skinner on a shorter term deal, what can happen in those 2 years before I hit the market.
You get hurt and you're not under contract.
Know. Yeah, you never know what would happen. I'd be worried
or
about that.
Or there's a lockout. A lot of these guys want lockout protection.
Oh, that's right. It could be,
get a $7 million check because you're on a team, you have lockout protection.
If the Sabres did it, that's fine. I just don't want him leaving now. Like,
right.
I, at least it buys me 2 more years to see what he does with Eichel. And then I'll deal with his value at that point, and then I'll know maybe what I'm paying Dahlin at that point, and is Reinhardt still here, and what's he getting paid? So from the Sabres standpoint, I'd sign up for 2 years.
I don't think it's likely. I'm just trying to find ways to get that thing done and have the fewest people scared of it.
Make sure you go to WGR550.com for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the Sound of Music kickoff concert June 8th in Burlington, Ontario. It is a night filled with music from 7 different bands. Again, you can enter in this at WGR550.com. You can enter through this Friday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The contract is never done until you get it signed. But our discussions with Jeff have been extremely positive. And I think it's been a relationship that's worked out very well for the Buffalo Sabres. And I think it's a relationship that's worked out very well for Jeff.
Sabres GM Jason Bottrell from Friday with us. Waiting on Jeff Skinner news. Sharks and Blues tonight. Game 6 from St. Louis.
Yeah, and I think the Sharks storyline is really interesting about whether they're... I hate to say, it's not breaking up the Sharks, but with the key free agent decisions they will have, we'll see what they do if they don't win tonight with Joe Thornton. Carlson, there's an interesting debate going on now about Carlson and whether, all the ice time he's gotten over the years and he's been dealing with a groin injury over time and whether San Jose would be able to re-sign him if he wants to stay there. Could they afford to pay him and Burns and all the other guys on their roster? So for the Sharks, this is could be a really key offseason beginning tonight. And for St. Louis, hey, man, if they win, first Stanley Cup final since 1970, I'll feel good for the Blues if they pull this off tonight. We are talking about what would be a good year for Josh Allen. You can let us know at 803-0550. Here's not settling. David says 5,000 passing yards, 50 touchdowns,
all right,
10 picks, NFL Offensive Player of the Year, Super Bowl MVP. Now that's
big.
That's a good year. Would you be okay with that year?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I think I would take that year. AJ tweets in an offense that puts up 23+ points per game. I think you've got to go a little higher than that, too. The old number, I think, used to be what, like 21? It's got to be the floor is 24, I think, in this day and age, in terms of points per game, National Football League. I think the floor is at least 24 points per game. We got to be shooting a little higher than that. Sean says 3,600 yards would be should be the step. Again, assuming he plays all 16 games this year. So you can share your thoughts on that. Connor says this is the year of promise for Josh Allen. 3,500-plus yards, 25 or more TDs would be considered promising in my book. And he asked for our thoughts. Yes, that'd be that would be a good step. Like I said, I think it's got to be, the floor is 3,200. It's Trubisky, right? 3,200 yards,
Trubisky
24
that,
touchdowns
Trubisky
last year.
Did that in 14 games.
Yeah,
call it 3,500.
Okay, yeah. So he averaged 230. I think it was 230 a game passing yards, and a little over 1.5 passing touchdowns. So that's the floor. Can you get to that? I don't think it's a lot to ask. I really don't.
In
terms of what they've done with this offense and how we think it's going to be better and all the effort they put in, I don't think that's a lot to ask for 230 passing yards a game on the average with what we believe will be better weapons around him. So that's one of the things we're discussing. Let us know your opinions on that. What else is on your mind? You can share your thoughts at 803-0550 or 888-550-2550. On the show today, Paul's going to join us at 7:30. We'll talk a little bit more about the Sabres, the offseason we were discussing yesterday, you know, the Skinner contract, maybe trading for Phil Kessel. So we'll get to some hockey matters at 7:30 with Paul Hamilton. Chris Brown, lead journalist, BuffaloBills.com, will join us at 8 as we talk plenty of Bills issues with OTAs going on this week. That's coming up on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.